Greetings and welcome to STL Soccer Talk here at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. I'm Tom Timmerman. I cover St. Louis City for the Post-Dispatch, and I'm joined, sitting across the table from me, maybe slightly more than 3 feet away, Beth O'Malley. Hello, Beth.
Hello, Tom. 3 feet is an important number because you were discussing
vision and, yes, and surgery, and I can now, my vision is now great from beyond 3 feet.
That's so good. So
that's when if we ever run into each other and are standing, if you notice I'm squinting, it means that we're closer than 3 feet. And if I'm doing fine, then you're more than 3 feet away. But that will change anyway, too. Anyway, but enough about that. Enough about my eyes. No sense beating around the bush. City SC did it again.
They did it again.
And not good.
Which of the several things that they did again did they do again?
Well, they had a lead in the second half.
Yep.
And did not win the game.
Yep.
And not only did they not win the game, they did not tie the game. They lost the game. And this is the third time since David Crichley took over, mm-hmm, that they have had a lead in the second half and not gotten anything out of it. And it happened to Portland, where they have the goals in the 55th and 91st minute. Then there was a gap, and they didn't do it then against Minnesota, where they gave up goals in the 75th and 90th minutes. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday in Chicago, goals in the 67th and 87th minutes to do it. As you may notice, a pattern in all those was that they gave up the game-losing goal, as it were, in the 91st and 90th and 87th minute.
Yeah, just dagger to the heart. There's hope. Maybe a tie. Ooh, if they can squeak it out. Nope, it's gone.
Yeah, yeah. And in four straight games, they have allowed a goal after the 85th minute.
Yikes.
They lead the league in goals allowed in the last 15 minutes of games.
Because we're looking back, several games, but not the totality of the season, then the picture only gets worse. There's no reason to go through the full list.
No,
as Tom picks up his notepad to do so.
No, it's brutal. And they have lost just in the past, since Crichley took over on May 31st, the games they played since then, they've lost 11 points that if they could have held on to leads, they would have. And if you added 11 points to their standings right now, they would be, I think, tied for ninth, maybe?
They'd be pretty close to contention, if not well in contention.
Yeah, they would be right there for a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. But as we know, they're not in a playoff spot. And they are so far away from a playoff spot as to, it's a bad. And it is, it's kind of uniquely theirs. They are, it's kind of, they've chosen.
The unique pain of the St. Louis fans is that these late goals, are just, they're hard to answer, first of all.
Yeah.
And second, they totally destroy confidence. You're going through the game feeling pretty good, and then that late goal comes in, it's like falling off a cliff. It's just impossible to recover from.
Yeah. And against Nashville the week before, they're up 3-0. They allow a goal in the 85th minute.
Right.
And then there was 12 minutes of stoppage time?
12 minutes of stoppage time.
And it was announced, and they played 15. And I tell you, Nashville could have scored a goal in stoppage time. And I'm sitting there as I'm watching the game play out, I'm thinking, if this game goes to 3-2, it's going to be that last however many minutes is going to be a total hell ride, because Nashville is threatening to,
Nashville had the edge during those last several minutes. They had possession. They had the opportunities. And had they scored a goal, there was no reason for that to stop. They would have had all the momentum in the world. And it's just so frustrating that City can't string together two games, like not even a streak, just two games, two wins, back to back. And is it even more frustrating that this comes against Chicago? No. I mean, to me, not really. Chicago has just, there's the rivalry there is fully on Chicago's side. Yes. They're winning everything. It's not even really a question. It's a nice road trip, certainly, but I don't know that we can call it a rivalry.
We'll get back to that point in a moment, but I should say that, and when you think about the Nashville game, City had a 3-0 lead in the 80-something minute. Mm-hmm. They scored in the 85th, and a 3-1 lead in the 85th minute, and you had to live through those last 20 minutes thinking, this lead is not safe.
Right.
They are up 3-1, and it would not have surprised anybody in that Nashville game for it to have ended 3-3.
Right.
Which
is another problem. Teams that come in to play City, okay, if we can keep the goals to a minimum, we can always come back in those last 10
you
minutes
are
of
never,
the game.
You are never dead.
You're never dead.
And
as close as City has come to killing out a game, the Nashville game, all year, there was still – the momentum was on Nashville's side. Mm-hmm. And, yes, we were all sweating. Everybody was sweating.
Critchley said after the game, like, we went to 2-1, they said, I felt we really needed that third goal. And it's with something when you've got to be up 3-1 to even remotely feel confident. And he said you could see, after Hartle scores the second goal, that he's signaling, three, now let's go for three.
Yeah.
Because they knew they needed that.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it. And is the reason why they had a long meeting this morning before practice. Practice started like 45 minutes behind schedule. And Critchley said it wasn't that we looked at a lot of film, but it was that we looked at the normal amount of film. Because Critchley's big, we're not going to do more than 30 minutes of film. Mm-hmm. But he said, but people started talking, and because we know we've got this problem. And people started talking, and as we talked, and I was like, good, this is good. We need to talk about this. I'm not going to stop them from talking.
Right.
And as to the whys, I mean, some of it's, are they, quote unquote, afraid to win? They get, nervous when they, what's going to happen? And I think I've probably talked about my ill-fated high school tennis career before, but I mean, there are some points where you start thinking, no, this is not going to end well.
Right.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Some of it comes with subs coming in and not the subs doing the wrong thing, but that, as new players are introduced, there are gaps that create, that players are further apart on the field.
Yeah.
Or that can also happen because you've been playing for 80 minutes and not necessarily fatigue, because Critchley says their stamina numbers, their energy numbers are still great, but that you just got to the point where maybe the focus isn't there, you're not, doing all the things right. Physically, you're fine, but, they're not positioned right, and they are leaving gaps, that the lines are getting further apart. And so players have more room in those gaps to get open and to get shots and score.
Mm-hmm.
And, and that's, I think that's clearly a problem that they've had, that there just becomes more space for players in these games. And, given those situations, given space, players will take advantage of that and will score. And so they've got to find a way. It's in some ways too late now because the season is gone.
Yeah.
Mathematically, they're still there.
Mathematically, they're still there, but in reality, it's gone.
If it's a bad year in the league, if they win seven of their last eight, but that's not going to happen. There's no reason to think that's going to happen.
Had they won in Chicago, not that I'm saying it would be possible, but it would feel more possible.
They would be tied for 13th at that point, as opposed to being smack dab in 14th by themselves. I mean, they would be in 13th, and they would be a few points out of 12th.
Yeah.
And you would say at that point, even if they don't make the playoffs, the team can finish 10th, which would sting because you just missed the playoffs. But you would,
it would sting, but it would be better than second to last or wooden spoon.
Yeah.
So
once again, they miss chances. The teams ahead of them are losing, but they, so it's still it's still going on. And it is a, I don't know how these numbers are historically, you know, what the number of like goals they've given up late would look like, what the worst team does in any one year. And I'll have to see if I can find those numbers somewhere.
Good luck.
But thank you very much. But it's this season, you know, is designed for maximum exasperation. They're just every game they will find a new way to have you saying, even if it doesn't do it the same way, you come away with saying, "Gosh, that was ultimately a frustrating way to lose that game."
Yeah, yeah, and it's almost more frustrating that it's a new way because it's so much more difficult to address that. You know, if the same player kept doing the same thing, it would be like, well, let's not play that player.
Yeah,
but it's as you said, there are multiple lapses going on, and it's tricky to put a finger on or say anything except maybe score more goals. I mean, that would be really the only thing here. Like, if you go into a game knowing you're going to give up a goal in the last 10 minutes, score one in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, to make up for it. Yeah. But when you look at, I mean, this, you know, this team is scoring, has started to score goals. I mean, since Crutchley took over, I mean, they've had two shutouts in 11 games, but they've had multiple goals on seven of those games. They've had two or more goals. I mean,
that should be,
I mean,
you should
get more than three wins and one tie out of that. So it's nuts.
Yes.
And I don't know when the end, you know, they are still probably several weeks away from being mathematically eliminated, but it's going to, they've pretty much maxing out. When you've lost this many games, there's no reason to think you're going to win seven out of eight.
I mean, we could call it the city miracle if it does happen.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's why it would be called a miracle, because there is no realistic chance for this team. And so we apologize to our listeners. Thank you very, no, I'm kidding. We're going to keep going. But you had a point to make about the rivalry.
Actually, it was a point to make about road trips.
Oh, okay.
So, good.
Another optimistic point.
So this was the shortest. This is the second shortest road trip of the year. Kansas City being a little closer. But anyway,
like 43-minute flight versus a 45-minute flight or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So as you may, if you were watching the game, you know, it was the start of the game was delayed an hour and 21 minutes because of thunderstorms in the area. So it ended, it started at like 9:02, so it ended around 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I, when the delay was going on, I was looking at the radar, as I am wont to do, and said, you know, there's a second line of storms that is going to hit like around 11 o'clock. So if they wait too much longer, they're going to get hit by another storm. Anyway, they play the game. It ends. They shower, dress, go to the airport. And first they get there, and there's an equipment problem on the plane. And so they have to wait about an hour while that is sorted out. And then, okay, that's fixed. They get on board the plane, at which point the thunderstorms come and like apparently parked like over O'Hare where they are. So the plane finally takes off from O'Hare at like about 3:30 in the morning.
Yuck.
So they land at Lambert at about 4:30 in the morning, get off the plane, bus back to the practice facility where their cars are, and then drive home. So guys, they got home from that game like at 5:30, you know,
depending,
6 o'clock in the morning,
right,
depending
yeah.
on where you live. And so what should have been the shortest game, the shortest trip of the season, or the second shortest, that is as late as they got back from a trip all year. And this week, where they go to play at Vancouver, they very likely will get home from Vancouver, if there are no travel problems, earlier than they got home from Chicago.
Right. And that's only, you know, is it a 4-5 hour flight? You know, you've taken it.
It's coming back, you can do it. If you have the wind at your back, it can do it in four and a half hours.
Okay.
If there, yeah, it's longer going out there because you're going into the wind.
I mean, that, yeah. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
And it's one of those things where if...
I don't know what to say to that.
If there's not the original rain, you know, they're at the... You know, they're at the airport at 10 o'clock and they're able to, you know, even if there's an equipment delay, they're able to get out before the storm. You know, if they don't have the equipment delay, they get out ahead of the storm, but they don't. and they end up sitting on the plane for like 3 hours. So
flying is not my favorite form of transportation. I think you and I have maybe talked about this before. I prefer driving.
Uh-huh. Had they driven,
they would have made it back in plenty of time. Fine. Yeah. You know, although I have my husband and I on a trip to Chicago had I think it was a spark plug rip through our engine. And so we were stranded in Chicago while I had he was a 1.5 or 2 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Toddler back home being watched by grandparents. We had to stay an extra day for the car to get fixed. And it was the most anxiety-ridden day of my life. And I have an issue with anxiety, so that's saying a lot. So even driving has its drawbacks, is my point. But
I was driving home. We were driving home from Holland, Michigan, visiting my brother and his family there at Christmas. So I think it was the day after Christmas. And we had our quite young daughter at the time. And our car, we had a Prius. And this was when Priuses were like brand new.
Right.
So this was original Prius technology.
Yeah. You still have the same car, though, right?
I do have the same car. which after a slow start, has proved to be well-nigh indestructible.
Yes.
But as we drove home, as we were driving, and the engine would just shut off.
Oh, no.
And so it happened one time. We were still in the greater Holland area, so we went to a dealership there, and they were like, I don't know what the problem was. So then we start driving again, and we got into, like, Chicago. And we were, like, on an interstate going through Chicago when, you know, the engine cuts out again, and we kind of coast over to the side. But then we wait, you know, half an hour, and we start up, and it drives. But of course, now we've spent so much time waiting on this trip that it's starting to become late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happens again in Springfield, Illinois, at which point it won't start again. And so it's like 10 o'clock at night. We are pulled off to the side of I-55 in Springfield. Can't get the car to come. It is Christmas Eve or Christmas, the day after Christmas. We've got an infant in the car.
Yeah.
And you're on the side of the road hoping like hell that no truck, you know, rear ends us at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
How far off the shoulder can we get? Anyway, and finally we get, you know, AAA sends somebody out to tow us, and then we all climb in the, you know,
cab.
and we drive back to St. Louis with, you know, our infant child. That was a long, long. And what's weird is that then shortly after that, there was a recall. Toyota did a recall because there was some computer thing, and they, like, reprogrammed the computer. And in the intervening 20-some-odd years, it has not been a problem.
Knock on wood.
Had they gotten on a bus at SeatGeek Stadium,
right,
which is in Bridgeview, which is even closer because it's on the...
Well, and you know, you can take out some of the traffic issues that you encounter that usually add about an hour to the drive in Chicago, and there you go. It's a good four and a half hours back home.
Yeah. So they could have done... Yeah. So had there not been a delay and they'd taken a bus, they could have been home at... Yeah. They would have
about
been...
About the same time. I mean, but it would have been... Movement.
Yeah, they would have been driving. They were driving by 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean,
they'd have been home 2 hours earlier.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is what life has been like for City SC this season.
Except for one player. Well, I guess wouldn't have traveled anyway, but there's a player change.
There is a player change. I should say also that some players didn't have the problem because some players did stay over in Chicago.
To enjoy the delights of Chicago, of Bridgeview.
Yes. Well, they went into the city. So we learned this morning that City SC has shipped out Zonday Silva.
Mm-hmm.
Not a stunning surprise that this happened because when he was playing, he did not make much in the way of significant contributions. And now he wasn't playing, and hence was making no contributions.
Right, exactly.
He freed up a roster spot and an international spot, mm-hmm. and don't have to scratch Zonde Silva's name off the list.
And we have two more days?
Yes, Thursday at about, I think, 5 o'clock Central, whatever time we were on now.
Do you think there will be any?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But if it is, it's not something that it would be a late-breaking development. Mm-hmm. Now, they've got international spots, mm-hmm. and they've got roster spots.
Yep.
So if something came up, they could do it. But I don't right now think it would happen.
And we can probably save the conversation of what's enough done for another podcast, I think.
We can when we know for sure. And
yeah.
and there's still a chance because while the transfer window closes for incoming players, mm-hmm. it's still the transfer outgoing players can still go out depending on their receiving country's transfer window.
Gotcha.
So
the team can still get rid of players,
yeah.
but it just can't make any additions.
Yeah, depending on what countries. Some countries have transfer windows that are contemporary, contiguous, simultaneous.
Concurrent. Yeah.
That could be it.
I think that's it.
That would be it. Yeah.
That's what they say when sentencing people.
Yes, that's right. Consecutive versus concurrent.
That's how I know the word.
Mm-hmm. Always get your sentence to be concurrent rather than be consecutive.
You would prefer to have a suspended imposition of sentence so that when you're done with your probation, and you should be good during probation, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. it's as if you were never convicted.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we would get rid of any article we wrote about you.
No.
If it was newsworthy enough. Anyway.
Zonde Silva was a gamble the team took.
Yeah.
They had a roster spot. Atlanta didn't want him, wasn't going to play him. He came fairly cheaply. Mm-hmm. I'm looking back up as to what they put out to $100,000 of GAM.
Okay.
So they had plenty of GAM to go around. I don't believe.
Is GAM the imaginary money or is that?
That's imaginary money.
Okay.
Yeah. $150,000 in potential GAM in incentives. I'm pretty sure Zonde Silva did not hit any of the incentives.
Unless there was some type of like game appearances incentives in there. He appeared in more games than I thought he had.
13?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, thinking back, there's only one game that I distinctly remember, and it was because Lynn Worthy happened to be at that game, and he and I were chatting, and I mentioned I really want to see what Silva can do. I hope he gets in this game. And he did, and he promptly did not impress. And so Lynn was chuckling politely at me after that.
13 games. I believe that's over all competitions.
Mm-hmm.
That includes he made only one start against Union Omaha.
Okay.
This happens in all of the announcements. There's always a paragraph where they give like the guy's stats.
Yeah.
Or something. Say something about the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Zonde Silva's paragraph was Zonde Silva appeared in 13 games for St. Louis City SC.
Yes. That was it.
That was.
It was almost as short as the sentence that said what the team received for him in the transfer.
Yes. So he's off to Tel Aviv
mm-hmm.
to play for Hapoel Tel Aviv.
Sure.
Pending all of once everything gets taken care of. But yeah, just looking at his numbers, obviously no goals. His XG would be 0.33. Expected goals over 11 MLS games.
Okay.
So less than roughly a third of a goal.
So he took like a shot.
He took eight shots. Eight shots of which three were on target. So three shots that required a save.
Okay.
Other than the game started, he played 49 minutes against San Jose. Which is a lot. He came in late in the first half. I forget who got hurt in that one.
Yeah, that may have been the game Lynn was at. because he was on the field for a decent amount of time. Yeah. I don't remember, to be quite frank.
My lasting memory of
the Zonde Silva era.
will be, and I think many would remember this moment, and it was against Portland, if I'm not mistaken. I'm double-checking my numbers right here, that it was against, it was at Portland, and there was a point in the second half, and Brendan McSorley had come into the game, mm-hmm. second half sub, and there was a breakaway, and Silva had the ball, and he was coming down the left side, and McSorley was on the right, and all of the defenders from Portland went to Zonde Silva. Brendan McSorley is by himself streaking down the right wing. Nobody there.
Do you pass, ladies and gentlemen? The answer is yes.
Well, yes. Does Zonde Silva pass? The answer is no. Silva keeps the ball. Four guys ascend on him. He takes a shot in traffic from like 30 yards out, which mm-hmm. gets blocked and doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
And McSorley's like, here I am. I was, and I think right
hello,
there.
Hello, teammate.
And I think right there for me, that was the Zonde Silva experience in a nutshell. I think that was,
He was, shall we say, a developing player who will continue to work on his skills in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, he had shown potential when he first came over.
Yeah.
Was playing with Atlanta. And then he stopped showing that. And Atlanta was ready to get rid of him. And City said, we'll take a chance because we got injured guys and we need people to score goals.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and he, some guys.
Show what they have.
Yes. Zonde Silva.
He showed what he had, but he didn't have it.
He did not have it.
Unfortunately.
So they got, so not a whole lot invested in Zonde Silva, and best of luck for him
mm-hmm.
as he heads off to play in the Israel Premier League.
I mean, if there's one thing about being a professional soccer player, you can really see the world, or at least your little tiny mm-hmm. corner of the practice field of the world.
Yeah, so I feel bad for Klaus, and who has lost a Portuguese speaker within the team, but
and Pompeu
and Celio, but yes, but Celio, and I should. I mean, Celio has lived in America longer than Klaus has. But,
gotcha.
But in any case, yeah. But you could see he was not going to play as they got back to full health.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the last three games that they played, he did not suit up. The last three MLS games, well, actually the last three overall games, because that includes the Aston Villa friendly,
mm-hmm.
He did not suit up in the past two games. He did not play in the previous two games, though he suited up.
Gotcha.
And when you didn't play against Aston Villa, that took some doing because everybody played.
They
used 26 players against Aston Villa.
The coaches were very intentionally trying to get everybody on the field.
And Zonde Silva was not one of them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So speaking of having players back, today at practice
Where Tom was. In the heat.
Sweating profusely.
Yes.
Standing around for 45 minutes waiting for them to come out and start practice.
Because they had that long
Because they had a long session, among other things, to talk about.
And Tom is not allowed to explain. You're not allowed in the video sessions or obviously club meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly not the locker room. There are limits to where the press can go. So I
found a chair and was sitting in the shade. The limited shade of one of the light poles at the practice facility.
Yuck! Yeah.
There was one chair that was on the next to the groundskeeper's office. Anyway, it's kind of the Mike Sorber chair. He sits there often while watching practice. But anyway, everybody was at practice.
The whole team. Is that the first time all season?
It could be. Right now,
I've stumped Tom as he tries to remember. But yeah, I
would think it would. I need to have a different list, which is in my laptop and not on my tablet.
Gotcha.
But yeah, right now their injury report should have nobody on it. Cedric Toyard and Michael Wenzel, who were the only guys on it last week,
mm-hmm.
both practiced.
Okay.
Practice
or kind of jogging?
Wenzel did most of it. Toyer did the early parts mm-hmm. and then stepped away and did individual training. But Critchley's still thinking that he could be, you know, if they're cautious with him during the week, that mm-hmm. he could be able to go on Saturday at Vancouver. Oof. So
every time I think about the Vancouver game, I just, oh, dear. It'll be good if the team has everybody healthy for that game, because I think Critchley is going to need all of the options he can get to face Vancouver.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, Wenzel doesn't matter because he's not going to play. But Toyer, you know, is the last significant guy injured. Rasmus Alm is still hurt. Mm-hmm. Rasmus Alm is now taken to coming out onto the practice field and watching practice, and he's not taking part, but he comes out and watches. And I think it is because for a long time he had company in the training room.
Right.
And now he'd be in there by himself. So I think he's really come out of almost, you know, because now, you know, if you want to be around someone,
you got
to
be out on
the field. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just sitting in the training room mm-hmm. alone. So I think that has actually been a factor in Rasmus Alm starting to come out onto the field. Technically he's not coming back. He's, you know, on season-ending injury list. And he's not doing anything in practice, so I don't mm-hmm. think he's going back. But I think now they have two open spots. I think actually they could bring him back because they've got roster spots.
And mm-hmm. even though he's on the season-ending list, if he got to a point where he could practice, could he practice with the team?
Yeah, he could definitely practice.
Okay, I wasn't sure if there were
I think if they've got they might well be able to play, but it doesn't matter. Okay. He's not practicing. There's 8 weeks left. Well, he's not. But everybody's there. And so this is it's going to be option time for David Critchley to figure out who he's going to play.
Right. And it's also, speaking of options, it's also mm-hmm. the time when the players who have options need to start showing their worth.
Yeah.
Not that some of them haven't been, just mm-hmm. it's the time of year when you want to prove you're mm-hmm. worth your contract.
Yeah.
So.
He said, look, you know, first off, Falu Fall did not start against Chicago. They brought him off the bench, to the surprise of many, because Fall had played very well the previous week mm-hmm. against Nashville, and it's okay, he has earned it. And I thought he would start, if only because they've got three center backs and he's the only one who's left footed. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, he's left footed. Then you'd have Kessler and Baumgartel competing for that other spot. And Richard said, there's a lot of right-footed left center back just because there's more right-footed guys than left-footed guys. But he said, Critchley said, we didn't start Falu because Kessler needed to get minutes. We needed to get him 55, 60 minutes mm-hmm. out there to get up to speed. Mm-hmm. And so to do that, we needed to start him.
Okay.
And he said, and then I thought, okay, and then we can bring Falu, who's a really good defender, off the bench late in the game mm-hmm. to help shut things down.
Which he did have, even coming mm-hmm. off the bench that late, he did have at least one play that I remember that I was like, okay, mm-hmm. there he goes. Mm-hmm. Two or three to block that other goal. Yeah.
Yeah. And Chicago's got good forwards.
Yes.
I mean, Kuipers and Zinkernagel are...
Which, wonderful name. One, it has a Z in it, which mm-hmm. it starts with a Z, which I think mm-hmm. is always kind of fun. And mm-hmm. two, it's just so German. It's great.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they used to have Fabian Braunschweiger there.
Such a great name, except totally, I can't even, oh, gross. Yeah. But,
yeah.
yes.
Unfortunately, it's one of those names that, since I don't write it that often, names that make you go and look and make sure I'm spelling this
correctly. You every know, letter very carefully. Yeah. For sure, yeah.
Yeah. And his goal, I mean, he's, you know, Leuven's tugging on his shirt trying to stop. I mean, so a tough team to stop.
Yeah.
They will have options. And, anyway, I was 2 weeks ago I asked Critchley I said, is there any way to get all three on the field together?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, not really. Not we were doing a 4-2-3-1.
Right.
And I was talking to Henry Kessler today, and I said, yeah, it's going to be tough because Coach, you know, Critchley said there's no way to get all three on the field. He kind of goes, well, I think there's a way to get all three on the field. But if that's what he's planning on doing, then yeah, then there's going to be big competition for those two spots. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the lineup looks like against Vancouver. What do you think about Boettcher's recent play?
Are you thinking about that because they're going back to Vancouver? Is that what?
No, I'm thinking about that because we were talking about people
almost scored,
coming in off the bench.
Uh-huh.
And he did what he seems to do best. Currently.
Come very close to scoring?
Come very close to scoring, yep.
Yeah. This, again, has been that season for Simon Boettcher,
yep.
Where he comes really, really close. And, I mean, he hit the post in the 95th minute.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like, you gotta. Anyway. Yeah.
It's gotta be killing him because that is, I mean, just the number of times. I mean, the last I looked, he was in the top 10 in the league in goals below expected.
Right.
And they don't, that's not a stat in which they had it easily broken out for over 90 minutes, but his over 90 minute number has got to be staggering because he's a guy that is coming off the bench.
Right. He should be coming off the bench as a type of super sub. That's what you would ideally want to see in a forward coming in at those points in the game. And unfortunately, he just is anything but.
He has had two games this season where his XG for the game was over one. And he didn't score. And another where it was 0.91, and he didn't score.
And he didn't score, yeah.
I mean, just you look at the shots on goal and the shots, it's really impressive. He is the tough luck guy. And this is where you hope against something that regression to the mean happens. And that because we saw that the first year, Klaus's goals above XG,
yep.
And then his goals below XG in his second season,
mm-hmm.
almost exactly set them or counterbalance. They almost come off to being zero. And so, you know, every bit he exceeded by in the first season, he underperformed by in the second season.
So if we could call the podcast regression to the mean, I don't know what that means for the team because it feels like after three seasons, the mean is not great.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to think where that mean is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they have, because they overperformed in the first season, and now are in their second season in a row of underperforming.
Right.
So I don't know where, you know, but it goes back to what we said before, if they, for whatever reason, were able to close out the games they had, this would be a playoff team. Now, it would be a playoff team battling to get in. There would be a lot at stake in these last eight games.
Right.
But they would be...
They'd be there.
They would be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they are not there. And that's the, you know, Klaus is scoring goals. Hartle scored. He's got three goals in five games. You know, Young got his goal. Boettcher is the one guy that still has not figured out, you know, how to get it to happen. But it happened, you know, last year it happened.
Happened for him last year.
But this year, yeah, he's now seven games without a goal. He's got one goal.
Yep.
Wow. He scored in the third game of the year, and then he scored in the fourth game under Critchley. And that is it. For him.
Oof.
So.
That is somehow worse than I thought it would be.
So it's a rough time.
A rough time.
For him. So we'll see. Going back to Vancouver. We'll see how that goes for him. It's funny. As we bemoan City's plight. City 2 is qualified for the playoffs. Which nobody noticed. I don't think the league noticed until either Sunday or Monday. They played on Saturday and won.
And part of that is because it's 13 now.
The 13, which is the MLS Next Pro record for an unbeaten streak, which is also something the league didn't know. The league's, the league's math was also – and what's amazing about all this is that this is the fourth season for the league, so it's not not a whole lot of history that you're going through.
So the City 2 players need to line up outside the training room. And the City players need to, like, rub their heads or something.
Yeah.
Rub off some of that winning.
And the reason, I think, the reason they didn't catch that they had clinched was because there are nine teams in MLS Next Pro Western Conference that can finish with more points, or there are eight teams that can finish with more points than City 2.
Okay.
However, Minnesota and North Texas play each other, and so they both can't go undefeated the rest of the way to get more points. Only one of them can do it. So there are only seven teams right now that can finish with more points. And so that's the fact that puts City 2 into the knowing their playoffs. Now, look, they're up by so much that this is not like someone was on pins and needles as to whether City 2 was going to make it.
It's early. Is what you're saying for a team to clinch.
It's early for the team to clinch. They are the only team in the league to have clinched. And while they are 12 points up on the second place team in the West, they are not close at all to clinching first place because the second place team, Town FC, which is San Jose's affiliate, has played three less games. And so if they were to play those three games and win them all, they'd have 9 points, and they'd be 3 points back with six or seven games left to play for City 2. So, but they are definitely in the playoffs, and they lead the league in points per game.
Right.
So they are the favorite to win. They are undefeated in 13 games. They are at home on Sunday, where they will play Sporting KC 2. The difference in points between those two teams, because Sporting KC 2 is the worst team in the league.
Oh, okay.
And so there is a 40-point gap between City 2 and SKC 2.
Wow.
40 points.
Wow.
SKC 2 has won two games all year. Both on the road, interestingly. And actually two of their last three or four games. So they are, relatively speaking, hot as a pistol right now with Sporting KC 2, and they're a great road team. So anyway, but they play on Sunday, and, potential to be an entertaining game.
Yeah.
Because City 2 is on a roll. I was talking about this with someone at practice. I mean, City SC, the first team, now has two open roster spots. And you say, do they bring up the City 2 guys? Do you bring up Mekhi Joyner right now? You've got a roster spot. He's already there. You don't have to do anything at all other than fill out a piece of paper or telex the league office, whatever, and that happens. But I would think that right now they're going to say they're going to let him finish out the City 2 season, because coaches always say this, there is benefits to being in like playoff situations, to being in that where there's something on the line and to be in those playoff games.
That little edge of additional stress or big edge of additional stress.
As opposed to City SC playing out the string right now. That it's used more to gain for these guys. So if there were some reason which they needed one of those guys, they could do it. But I think right now they will probably let those guys run out and have a chance to, be rewarded and win the MLS Next Pro championship.
Is it a cup?
It's a cup. Well, I'm trying to remember exactly what the – I think the – Cup is a cup. I think I think what you would get for winning the conference is more trophy-like. It's more modern art-ish or whatever.
You can't drink out of it.
No, you could not. You could spill things extensively. Anyway, that's so that's coming up for City 2 is they because who knows, they may not lose again this season the way they're playing. And you look at that roster and who, you know, they've got some guys that are, you know, McSorley and Jaskalainen and Joyner and Caden Glover, and you know, they've got a head to top to bottom really good team.
Yeah.
So just on other things, St. Louis U men's team opens its season Thursday at home in Herman Stadium against South Florida. And the SLU women's team, which won its opener at Kansas City last week, travels to play Penn State, which was 11th in the preseason rankings, on Thursday. And then they play Mizzou at Herman Stadium on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So you have a choice, because I believe the SLU women play Mizzou at 5 and the City 2 game starts at 6. Ooh. So, there is entertainment to be had on the soccer front.
Yeah, there's still soccer in St. Louis, even if City is out of town.
City's out of town in Vancouver. The last really, well, not the last really long, because they still have to go to San Jose, but the worst road trip of the year, and really only one more West Coast, one more of their seemingly. I was talking to Marcel Hartle today, and I said, you know, you've been here a year now. What have you learned about travel in Major League Soccer? That is terrible. I mean, that is you got all these long trips, and they're, you know, it's 4 hours to the West Coast, and it's two time zones, and it's a big country. And I said, yeah, you know, well, you're used to playing in Germany, you know, Hamburg in the north to Munich. And they said, 2 hours. 2 hours, you know, flight at the most. And they, you know, you play day games. It's nothing like this. And I said, were you surprised by this? I said, yes, I was not expecting.
Yeah, the realities of that much travel, certainly. You can hear a four-hour flight, and then to experience it is very different.
And to experience it as many, you know, seven times,
right,
that these guys have to do it.
Yeah.
It's a killer.
Yeah.
And then Chicago, which should be the easiest, ends up being the worst.
Exactly.
So I think that covers
us,
everything.
I think
we've, you know, a lot going on.
Yeah.
And So more in the pages of the Post-Dispatch. Hear more from Henry Kessler and Marcel Hartle and David Critchley and all the news there and online at stltoday.com. And we are in the grind, in the home stretch.
In the home stretch.
For this.
And hopefully there's one or two more wins in here.
There's no reason why there shouldn't be.
I think there should.
I mean, this team has shown they are.
They can win unexpectedly.
And actually, playing Vancouver, which is good, but has been struggling a bit of late.
Yeah.
But also, all the Germans on the team really pumped to play Thomas Müller, the Bayern Munich star. That's actually a big thing for German players, because he's like a German god. 15 years with Bayern Munich, won a World Cup. I mean, he's a big time.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, and he made a first appearance on Sunday for Vancouver, but he might make his first start again. But anyway, plenty of that to come. Thanks all for listening. Do all those things. Subscribe, tell a friend, give us a good review, be kind to your parents. For Beth, for producer Michael Hamptel, I'm Tom Timmerman. Until next week, be seeing you.